Good morning, friends, and welcome to First Baptist Church on this beautiful day. It's so good to be together, and we're especially glad to welcome those of you who may be worshiping with us for the first time, or for the first time in a while, which includes Wilma Duke. Who has been out due to injury and illness since August. So we're really glad to have you back. Thank you. We've missed you and we love you. A few announcements related to what's going on in our congregation today and in the days ahead. First of all, in your order of worship, there was a slight reversal that we are going to reverse to its normal order. After the epistle reading, we will have our anthem and then the prayers of the people. Just letting you know that so you don't think we all made a big mistake when it happens. After worship, we hope that you'll join us downstairs for our time of fellowship. And then following that, at 11:30, we're going to have a special presentation from our Amos mission team. You can see some people around the sanctuary wearing this turquoise t-shirt. Those people have a special word to share this morning, and you want to hear about their trip and the exciting developments with our mission partners in Nicaragua. So please stick around for that at 11:30. Then in this coming week, on Thursday, we have our next concert in our Coffee Break concert series. This is a part two to the concert that happened last month. It's Meditation 2, Music and Paintings. That's this Thursday at 12:15, and this time it's at First Congregational Church on the corner of William and State Streets. So we've been doing a back and forth with them, partnering with them. It's a really great series and a great opportunity to step back from the stresses and pressures of weekday life and just enjoy music and meditation and art. So please come to that if you are able. And then next Sunday, we have a big, special new event. This in your bulletin. Don't overlook it. Think about coming. Make plans to come. iJourney, intergenerational, interactive, invitational, Holy Week prayer experience from 5 to 7 here at the church. This is truly intergenerational, and we want you to be a part of it. It's going to be a great chance to get yourselves ready for Holy Week in a holy way. You can RSVP online on our website, or to make it super simple, you can let us know on the connection card in your bulletin and drop this in the offering plate later this morning. So please plan to come and let us know so we can make plans to be ready for you. You can read other announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert. Now I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Thank you. Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you have created this amazing day just for us. We are here to be in your holy presence that we may explore, learn, and experience your love. Show us how to open our hearts to peace and understanding. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Restored us, we were like those who dream.
Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced.
Those who
sow
in tears will reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, will come home with shouts of joy. The epistle reading this morning is from Philippians. Not that I have already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? God of wondrous love, God of amazing grace and goodness and beauty and truth, we have come to sing our praises, to lift our prayers, and to yield our lives to you. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and help us to trust that you are at work within us and beyond us, answering all human need with the power of your grace. We pray for the sick and the dying, and for those who care for them. We pray for those who mourn. We pray for refugees and immigrants, and for those who work on their behalf. We pray for all who feel powerless over their own lives. We pray for those who live in the midst of violence or the threat of violence. We pray for those living with depression, anxiety, mental illness, or addiction, and for those who care for them. We pray for children everywhere, and for those entrusted with their care and education. And we pray for your church to have the courage and persistence to work for the transformation of the world by your love. We also pray specifically for those in our congregation and in our hearts this morning who need your special care. We pray for the family and friends of John Wallace. We pray for Micah Dalton and the rest of the family and friends of Liz Dalton. We pray for Helen Louise Bowser, Peter Beauvais, Jean Evey, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Bob Simpson, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirstein, Olivia, Saw Nay Lin, Robert, Marissa Alanese, for the Jones family, Catherine, Rebecca Levinson, Betty Doman, Dale, Dawn, Pat, John, Gloria, for Michael, for Oscar Vega and family, Betty, Haley, David, Valerie, and Kate. And we also pray the deep personal prayers of our lives in silence now. Loving God, you call us out of shame and into authenticity, out of brokenness into wholeness, out of complacency into courage, and out of death into life. Give us the boldness of your power and your healing love, that we might do the work of that love in our world. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will you please stand in body or in spirit for the hearing now of the gospel? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You do not always have me." The word of the Lord. Would you be seated, please? It's my pleasure now to invite the children to come forward as we all sing.
Words to describe who we are all together. One big church word is congregation. Another way is to say church family, that we are one big church family. Can you tell me, what are some things we do together as a church family? What are some things we do together, Katerina? We worship. What else do we do? We sing songs together. What else do we do together? Grady? We pray. We pray with God. We pray to God. Yeah? Good. What else do we do, Samuel? Sometimes we have parties. Yeah, sure. Danny? Say again. Sing. Yeah, Teresa? We tell Jesus that we love him a lot. Yeah, Samuel, you have another idea. We read the Bible together. Yeah, you guys have listed a whole bunch of things. Yesterday, the church got together and the congregation got together for Ron Gregg's funeral, and we felt kind of sad together. That's something we do. And on Tuesdays, we get together and serve meals to those who need food. We fight for justice together. We do all kinds of things. We experience Jesus' love together, and we share Jesus' love. We do all of these things together. And today, we're going to do something special. At the end of worship, you guys are going to sneak back in after Sunday school. I'm going to sneak you out. And we're going to formally welcome some folks to our church, to our church family. And we're going to say, we promise to be about these things, learning and growing and being about love together. So would you look out into the congregation? Some of us are sitting up here. But would you look out, and if you are one of those new members that we're going to welcome today, would you just wave your hands at us so we can see you now? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. So we're going to come back, and Allison's up here too. We're going to do that. And you know what I'd like us to do? I'd like us to pray with our arms. We're going to hold hands, kind of. But I'm going to ask that you hold each other's elbows. So you see how Piper, can you hold my arm? Actually, hold my arm. There you go. We're going to hold each other really strong. Not just our hands. We're going to go all the way to the elbows. Because that's what we do as a church family. We are strong together. That's another thing we're going to say. We're going to say, we promise to do all these things with you, grow and learn and love. And we're going to say to all of these friends of ours that we are better doing it together, that they help us all together, and we hope to help them. So would you get in kind of a circle, or get whoever's next to you and get your arm so you're holding an elbow next to you? Good. Samuel, can you get in there with Elise? Get an elbow? Oh, yeah, good. Good. All right, let's pray together. God of our church family, we thank you that you are about love and that we get to show our love to you together. Help us to grow and learn and serve others. We thank you for those that are formally joining our church family today. We thank you for this church family. Help us be about your work. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me, please? Most gracious, merciful God, by your living Spirit, may a living word be received in our hearts and lived by all we are and all we can do in reply to your grace. Amen. She walks into a room where the men are eating a meal that she had helped her sister prepare. One of the men at table is her brother, who strangely enough was recently dead and had been brought back to life by Jesus, who is also at this table. The brother's name is Lazarus. The sister in the kitchen is Martha, and the woman who is now interrupting the meal, her name is Mary, Mary of Bethany. And this little family, two sisters and a brother, are very close to Jesus. They love him, and clearly he loves them. Mary holds in her hands a kind of elegant jar made of alabaster. Without a word, she goes to Jesus, kneels, opens the vessel, and begins slowly to pour a liquid onto his feet. It is an exquisite perfume called nard, imported from India, very expensive, and in that jar she's got a pound of it. It's like a gallon of Chanel No. 5. And in the currency of that time and place, get this, this would cost almost a year's salary. And she keeps pouring it slowly out onto his feet. This powerful fragrance fills up the whole house, and she tilts the jar further and pours more and more onto his feet till every drop has fallen and the jar is empty and there are $1,000 puddles on the floor. And then of all things, she loosens her long hair and begins to wipe the perfume from his feet. What is this? This is one person's way of expressing something immensely too great for words. She has resorted now then to extravagance, an astounding gesture entirely and beautifully unnecessary, because for her, it is necessary to express her unspeakable love in a way that signifies the pouring out of every ounce of herself. What leads her to do such a thing? Her knowledge that he is on his way to terrible suffering and death in just 5 days. He will be beaten, scourged, laughed at, spit on, bloodied half to death, and in public spectacle, be torturously killed. Somehow she knows that he means to embrace this. Surely this is not necessary. If he wants to communicate the love of God, forgiveness, welcome, liberation, oneness, peace, he could declare it, couldn't he? But no, he means to reveal the breaking of God's heart. Divine love bearing human cruelty and pain. He means to embody the dying of God for love's sake and the power of that love to overthrow death. He will pour out every ounce of himself for love's sake. She understands because she has been listening to him. And it means the world to him. And recognizing her mind, tells everyone in the room that her outpoured gift is for his burial. I wonder if as she pours and anoints him in this way, there were tears in his eyes. Are we to take this as some kind of example for us? Is there something in what Mary of Bethany does that we are to follow her in? I think so, yes. Not, I hope, spilling gallons of Chanel No. 5 on somebody's feet. That was her gift, not ours. If we were to realize that there is some kind of equivalent for us, what might it be for you, or for me, or for you? If we were to pour ourselves out in the seeking of better justice for vulnerable people, and to do it not from some well-managed little bits of obligation, but giving all we can with wholehearted passion, this would be the alabaster jar of our lives poured out, lavished out for Christ's sake, our way of echoing God's outpoured love for us all. You could do something similar, believe it or not, in your personal life of prayer and devotion. Pouring out your whole self. You could do the same with great initiatives in friendship, old and new. You could do this in what kind of parent or partner you choose to be, or in what you do with your vocation. It matters less what it is that we give ourselves wholly to than the way we give it. We do not give what's ours to give with a managing eye, watching. Self-consciously, what we bring to give. Instead, we give with all our grateful hearts, creatively, profusely, because our love isn't given in thimbles full. Our love is like rivers. We live in the beauty of passion. And what is a life without passion? To be clear, by passion I do not mean excitement or the drama or the self-involvement that people seem to mean these days when half of them are saying, "I'm a passionate person." I mean something more like the passion of Jesus. Wide open, vulnerable, the surrender of the self, with single-minded intent, lifted up, swept away in God's loving intent for all the world, and giving ourselves entirely to that sweet purpose. If you do, you can expect some criticism. There was Mary giving her most beautiful gift, and Judas Iscariot mansplained to her and everybody else that was not the best gift. We could have sold it for a boatload of money to feed the poor. What a waste, you sentimental, emotional woman. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Leave her alone." Don't you love that line? Leave her alone. Who would dare to criticize somebody for giving the best that they have to give? Oh, that's not very good. It's not really valuable. That's coloring outside the lines. It's a pitiful offering, really. It's dumb. Leave them alone. Learn something from people who risk more than you risk. People who are freer and more generous than you are, or whose faith is more expressive than yours. Look to your own life and to your own giving with passion. Of course, one of the reasons that some of us are hesitant to give so freely is that we are criticizing ourselves. Most of you have an inner Judas. I do. Who warns against our being too generous, tells us not to risk too much, belittles what we might want to offer. Jesus says to your inner critic, leave it alone. Get off your own back. For love's sake, let it go and give all that's yours to give. Go on and pour it all out for love's sake, for Christ's sake. And yes, often it will be imperfect. You let your love go beyond the necessary, and it can get a little sloppy. Didn't Mary have to come back and mop up all that perfume? But unnecessarily generous expressions of our love turn out to be what makes life finally worth living. A man I knew and loved, and who has long now been dead, said this: I can imagine nothing better than arriving at the end of my days and turning to look back over my life and to say with a solid smile, I'm glad I did that. You know what Jesus did with Mary's extravagant gift. Just 5 evenings later, as she had done, he hosted a meal. And as she had done, he interrupted the occasion and went to each guest and knelt and poured on their feet his gift of love for them, then wiped them cleansed anew. I would like to think that she was there, also freshly cleansed by him, and grateful to see how he had taken her gift to him and multiplied it for so many others. And we are gathered to this table now, the table at which he spoke of the outpouring of his life for all the world and enacted it in bread and wine. Such astounding gift we receive in awe and wonder, and perhaps, too, we reconsider today how we might pour out every ounce of ourselves. He would find it beautiful and multiply it to others and would make the world more beautifully fragrant. In part, because we said yes. Let the offering of what we bring, including our lives, be made beautiful today.
Christ invites everyone to this table to join the feast of his love. We make ourselves ready by confessing to God and before one another. Will you pray with me? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God created us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup of salvation. Let us pray. O God, now pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts that you give us today and remind us of forever. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Will you stand to sing our hymn of fellowship? Happy, happy day. Be seated. We have people coming to join our church today. I invite them to come forward so that you can meet them just a little bit if you haven't already. And we'll make words of commitment to one another. And children, I'm so glad you've come back in for this. This is a treat. Isn't this nice? Let me introduce you to them and remind you that much more is written about them in a bulletin insert you're holding. First, let me introduce Rachel Brownson, who is second from the end there. She is an ordained minister from the Reformed Church and comes our way from Grand Rapids. She is a hospital chaplain working with children in palliative care. Can you imagine? She works with their families and with them. With her is Fawn, the golden retriever, who is not a Baptist. But neither are most of you. About 3 months ago, we needed to take one of our boys into the emergency room for a scary situation, and there was Rachel, who ministered to us wonderfully. We thank you. With her petting fawn, Lori Jean Brazier, who is a Baptist. And who's been a member in Nashville and elsewhere at some very cool Baptist churches. And when we first met, just looked from a distance at each other, you had that smile that looked like we'd known each other for a very, very long time. And we didn't, but it feels like we did. She, too, is in chaplaincy at the University Medical Center. These two are helping us take one more step of our church goal to have half the church membership to be clergy people. Next, let me introduce you to somebody that many of you know because she's been here for actually kind of a long time. She sings in the choir. She was very instrumental in starting an important new second hour education class for young adults. Still part of that group. She is Kendra. Where did I lose your information to? Oh, Kelfi. She is a psychologist who does work with adolescents and their families clinically. She has a difficult job that does a lot of good in this world. She's done us a lot of good in this church. Kendra, thank you so much for joining us. Next are Phyllis and Harvey Slaughter. She originally from Flint, he originally from Detroit. They met in Ann Arbor, though, in 1968, have been back here for a while. They visited, they say, a number of churches before finding us. And they say they are very, very happy here. If you read their thing, you will read that they have done different kinds of jobs, all of which have enormously long names and are of great importance. Currently, Phyllis is a data analyst in the university medical system. Harvey is an independent consultant in learning and development. Am I getting that about right? Wonderful people. They attend our adult second hour sessions and always add a lot. We welcome you. And finally, beside me now are Dave, Pamela, Josh, and Allie Emmenheiser. They too have been visiting our church for several months. We are delighted to have them. You can read about them here. Pamela is an attorney who works to help, of all places, the University Medical Center. Dave is a human resources guy in the same company where Jeanette Halliday works. He's one of your human resources. Josh and Allie are already important parts of our youth ministry and our children's ministry. And whether or not you've noticed, it's been Dave who's offered drum accompaniment on a number of pieces we've sung here recently. We are so glad all of you are here. Thank you for trusting your life to this community of faith. We invite you and all of you to say words now of commitment to each other. Do you have bulletins here that you can see? You'll find your words also on the order of worship. Let's make our words of promise. We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you, and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ.
We accept your welcome and offer our lives to love and serve with you to the glory of God. We are all made richer in faith
because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us all to be good friends to each other and fully faithful to the calling of God on our lives. We welcome you all. Normally we hug everybody, but I don't think we've got that much time. These folks will be standing with me at the exit there. We hope that many of you can come by and offer them your own greeting. As always, after a communion service, there are offering plates at the door. What is given today will be used in our fellowship fund to assist those who come our way for material help.
Friends, go from this place to love the Lord your God with all your might.